we discuss a lot on this program about religious people, and particularly right now, many evangelical Christians supporting Donald Trump, and it is unfathomable. And the question also has come up as to how many religious people can say of people who are non-believers that you can't have any purpose without God. My guest has written a book that focuses on all of this. He is a psychiatrist at Sunnybrook Health Services Center in Toronto, Canada, and draws upon intensive clinical experience, his own family experience with cancer, looking at these big questions. And the book is called Finding Purpose in a Godless World, Why We Care Even If the Universe Doesn't. And he argues that there likely in history was a capacity for caring that didn't rely on God, which is kind of the opposite way that many people think about it. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Mike. Thank you very much.
So you confront these big questions about ourselves and the universe, and the central theme is about the search for meaning. Religious people want the universe to care. Secular people want people to care. Tell us more about the different perspectives and why religious people believe that you must be religious in order to care.
Well, Mike, I think that the religious perspective is that caring is inherent to the universe and was present at its inception. Not only caring, but consciousness and intention, which is to say that the universe was brought about by some kind of conscious, caring, intentional agent, that is God or some higher power in whatever way one chooses to define it. The scientific perspective is the exact opposite, which is that consciousness, intention, caring were not things, so to speak, at the inception of the universe. These properties evolved, they emerged and evolved much later in the universe with life itself.
And that basically people had to be corralled into caring because of a fear of God, a fear that there would be retribution.
Well, in some ways, yes, but I think that the idea of God is a natural, intuitive feeling that conscious, self-aware beings like us, humans, almost inevitably and naturally arrive at. You see, we're intentional agents, and we're also caring by our very nature, and so it's natural for us to see, to perceive intention and caring in other agents. I mean, we've evolved to detect and interpret intention in other people because we're social animals, and actually also in predators and prey. And we're so adept at identifying deliberate intention that we overshoot and we perceive it in inanimate objects and random events. And so we're very predisposed to think that there are supernatural agents planning and guiding just about everything in the world.
And you're discussing how that's not necessarily the case, at least in how people arrived at the ability or desire to care.
Right. Caring is a natural evolved instinct. And when I say caring, I'm talking about caring about ourselves first and foremost and our lives, which is to say having a sense of purpose and being motivated. And I'm talking about caring about others, our fellow human beings. Now, just to be clear, what I'm not saying is that we are always and inevitably compassionate and moral toward all other humans. We have instincts to be cooperative and competitive or aggressive. But in the long view of history, our caring instincts have actually been slowly prevailing, and societies have been moving towards more and more cooperation and compassion.
And if you take away religion, you assert that we can and do care about our own lives in many different ways.
Most certainly. So, without a doubt about our own lives, and that shouldn't surprise anyone, and that's not necessarily a moral virtue. People might say, well, yeah, sure, that's a selfish thing. But what I am saying is that our sense of purpose is not dependent on our belief that the universe has a purpose. We tend to assume that, and you know, people are afraid that if they were to accept that the universe has no inherent purpose, then how would we have a sense of purpose? That's simply not correct. When people lose their sense of purpose, and here I'm talking as a psychiatrist about people, for example, who are suffering from depression, that doesn't happen because they suddenly had an epiphany and realized that the universe has no purpose. And in fact, the only times I've seen that being a contributing factor is with people, especially young people, who have grown up in very religious families and communities where they've been surrounded by this message. It's basically it's been impressed upon them all at every turn that your sense of purpose, our sense of purpose is originates from God's sense of purpose and is dependent on there being a higher power and a higher plan and the universe having a purpose. And so when those people lose their faith, they can have a real existential crisis that could actually contribute to depression. But for most people, that's not what causes depression. Depression has many causes, particularly biological. And they may attribute it mistakenly to their having arrived at a realization that the universe has no purpose, but it's not actually the cause of their depression.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Ralph Lewis, MD, psychiatrist. Finding Purpose in a Godless World is his book, Why We Care Even If the Universe Doesn't. I'm Michelangelo Cirelli on Sirius XM Progress 127. You grappled with these questions in a personal way when your wife was diagnosed with cancer. You were raised in a Jewish household, but by your teenage years, you considered yourself agnostic. But a lot of this was dredged up when you had to deal with your wife's diagnosis, and you reflected on that.
Correct. Yes. So, yeah, I did grow up in a Jewish home and went to a Jewish day school for almost all of my primary and secondary school years. And in fact, we still practice in a traditional Jewish way. We observe Sabbath. I enjoy singing the Sabbath evening prayers and conducting a fairly traditional Passover Seder. But without a shred of belief, it's because I and my family value culture and tradition and history. And we think there's value in preserving tradition. I should say, though, just as a footnote, tradition is a mixed bag, I'm sure I don't need to tell you, and there are many negative aspects that ought to be discarded, but there are positive aspects, too. As for my personal crisis when my wife suffered from cancer, and this was almost 13 years ago now, but it went on for a number of years of severe uncertainty. So the issue there was, at that stage of my life, I didn't believe in a biblical God. I didn't really believe in a personal interventionist God, but I had a vague belief, as many people do, in there being some kind of very abstract higher power, if you want to call it that, or higher purpose to the universe, some sort of idea that the universe may have a purpose that we could never possibly fathom. I thought this would be an unknowable question. And in that sense, I was agnostic. But on a more personal level, what happened was after the initial devastating diagnosis and feeling very unlucky about her having this kind of cancer, it was a very life-threatening cancer, we actually had some extraordinary good luck that had to do with the diagnostic and treatment process that seemed quite serendipitous. Without going into detail, a lot of things seemed to be leading toward a favorable outcome. And I started getting this vague, eerie feeling, as many, if not most of us do at different times of our life, that things were being somehow, shall I say, almost cosmically guided, though I wasn't sure that I wouldn't have necessarily put it in those terms, but as if things were happening for a reason, as if things were meant to be somehow. But that alerted me because as a psychiatrist, I'd seen a lot of people in a lot of denial in the face of adversity, and I started to become suspicious that I was in denial and falling prey to wishful thinking. And this set me on a path of wanting to understand more deeply why it is that we are so prone to having this kind of feeling that coincidences are actually intended as if everything happens for a reason. I started getting very much more skeptical about my own beliefs and realizing how prevalent, well, widely prevalent these beliefs are, wanting to understand why that is.
It's interesting because I remember, my memory is failing me for a second, who it was. It was a book, an author we spoke to, a couple of years ago, who proposed that there was a genetic component to belief that, people had, you are posing that it's sort of a universal human reaction or quality, but I think this particular author was saying that it's a genetic predisposition that some people have more than others, which was and then obviously depending on your environment and how you're raised, whatever, it could go either way. But it's kind of similar in a sense to what you're saying, that maybe there is a basic human desire to believe because it's maybe something self-preservational, and for whatever reason, other people may not get there.
Yeah, belief is a very, very complex thing. So there are many, many factors that contribute to belief and probably many factors, and I'm sure that some of them are genetic, that make some people more inclined to certain kinds of beliefs than others. But I think it's fair to say that there is this general human tendency to think that everything happens for a reason. And what that's about, it's what we were talking about earlier. It's that evolutionarily, We are intentional agents who have evolved to be exquisitely attuned to detecting and interpreting intention in others, whether other people.
And or patterns and things like that.
As well. So it's actually both patterns and agency. Agency would be another word for, you know, an intentional agent. So we over-identify pattern, and we over-attribute agency, deliberate intention. And we overshoot, and then we think that inanimate objects and random events, and indeed the universe itself, have inherent purpose, happened for a reason. But there's another big reason why people are so inclined to think that the universe has a purpose, which is that most people are completely baffled, mystified by how the universe could possibly have come into existence on its own, and more particularly how it could have become so complex without being intended and designed intelligently.
Right. And I think there's also a component, and you must deal with this with a lot of your patients, where people want to believe that it doesn't all end when you die, and that they're going to see all these people who were in their lives, and that they're out there somewhere as part
exactly,
of some
thing. Exactly. So which is comforting.
But I have to tell you, I don't have any, I just think it all stops and you're gone, and I don't have any beliefs really of any larger plan. And I think it's interesting, like, I, you know, where the universe came from, but I don't propose to think I could figure that out, or that there was some plan or whatever. I just sort of go, okay, I'm just not going to go there. And I guess that's not true of most people, right? Most people think, no, there's got to be something.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And you're absolutely right about people desperately wanting to believe that we don't just, that our life, our consciousness isn't just extinguished at death, desperately wanting to believe that we continue. But it's not just because that's comforting or because it's disturbing to many people that we don't continue. There are many, evolved cognitive biases that that incline us to think that the mind lives forever, and to think that the mind does not merely come from the brain, that mind isn't merely a product of matter. And so because consciousness is so baffling to people, and because consciousness feels intuitively to be something that could not possibly just be a product of physical stuff, this is an additional powerful reason why people believe in a spiritual realm.
What are your thoughts, and just one last question, it's been a fascinating discussion, on the majority of Americans now, I mean, it's shifting among younger Americans, tending to be unaffiliated with any sort of church, tending more to be agnostic, less involved in a religion. And it's really something shifting dramatically as we see people grow. You know, we see it differently in generations, but it's, you know, certainly a shift that's going to be interesting because religion has been used so much to affect public policy in the past.
Right. Well, there are lots and lots of reasons, as you can well appreciate, as to why religion is losing its hold over the younger generation. But what I would say is that these people who are turning away from institutional religions are not necessarily turning away from spirituality.
Right.
They still have the same ingrained bias that we all have, this evolved bias that inclines them to think that there's some sort of higher power, some sort of higher purpose. And a lot of them are turning to things like New Age spirituality and other belief systems, which are unfortunately still as far from the scientific worldview as institutional religion. And science is hard and counterintuitive. And
that's very, very true.
Yeah.
Well, great to discuss this and have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. I very much appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for inviting me.
The book is Finding Purpose in a Godless World, Why We Care Even If the Universe Doesn't. Ralph Lewis is the author. We're back after the news at the top of the hour. You're listening to SiriusXM Progress 127, also on your mobile apps.